You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi. Astoria residents met the final six candidates vying to be the city's next fire chief at a meet and greet last week. The city has been searching for a new fire chief since current fire chief Dan Crutchfield announced his retirement in May. Crutchfield says the hiring process included interviews with the fire department and city staff, and command exercises to grade how candidates use resources on a simulated fire. Among the finalists, Brian McCarthy is the only local applicant and serves as Astoria's deputy fire chief. Charles Griffith is the chief officer of Chandler, Arizona. Lance Seff is the fire and rescue's assistant chief of emergency medical services in Hastings, Nebraska. Brandon Regard works as the director of product strategy for First Do, a company that develops software for first responders and was previously a firefighter. John Holmes is the fire chief of the Cave Junction Fire District in Josephine County. Alex McGowan is the division chief with the South Whidbey Fire Emergency Medical Services. Once a candidate is selected, they will be given a contingent job offer with an estimated start date of December 1st. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Daily Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Recruitment will begin soon for a new Cannon Beach city manager after the retirement of longtime city manager Bruce St. Denis last week. Finance director Tim Collier is acting as pro tem city manager until the city council hires a permanent replacement. The city council approved GMP consultants to conduct the search. In their proposal, GMP estimated it will take 90 to 100 days to fill the vacancy, with the process costing more than $26,000. The pro tem city manager is only allowed to serve for 4 months. City leaders will make adjustments with GMP consultants if the city manager is not hired in a timely manner. It's been 9 days since wildfires broke out in North Spokane, sending thousands of people fleeing for safety. No casualties have been reported, and the Spokane complex is now 50% contained. A suspect in the fires has been charged with arson. For hundreds of victims, recovery will be a long road. Correspondent Paige Browning has been in Spokane talking with victims and brings us this story.
It's 100 degrees out, sauna dry, and winds are blowing around the smoky air. Bobby hasn't been seen in 6 days. He's a black cat.
Well, this is the first day that we've come back since the fire, so we wanted to see what it looked like, and we're mostly looking for our cat.
Bobby's owner, Venus Allison, was able to get their other cat and two dogs evacuated, but not Bobby in time when a wildfire came through their peaceful North Spokane neighborhood. As for what it looks like, their home's gone. She already knew this from neighbors sending photos. Spokane's Indian Trails neighborhood was hit hard by the Old Trails fire. It's a suburban area with a lot of new development, manicured lawns, covered front porches, and a view of a field. But now public officials have used war zone and apocalyptic to describe this and other hard-hit neighborhoods.
Man, we saw the fire miles and miles away before it jumped the river. And we're like, man, something bad is going down. And once it jumped the river, it came so fast. So we quickly packed go bags with just minimal stuff in it.
Houses on the block adjacent to hers are still standing, but they're covered in a blanket of pink flame retardant that was dropped in haste by fire crews. 1 mile directly south, Andy McKean and his wife have been raising their kids in a quiet cul-de-sac.
Yeah, we're in the midst of learning how to drive, so that's a whole nother fright.
They have 4 kids, 3 of them still at home, twin soccer players and a skilled painter who's about to head to college. They were away from home when the fire started, but the 17-year-old daughter and her grandma made a mad dash back to get their dog Debo a half hour before their street got evacuated. Mere hours later, the block was decimated.
We all went back, not until I think the next day. We were able to get in and see it in the daylight, and that was pretty tough.
McKean says it's just overwhelming. That's a feeling that's common among fire victims right now. It's all overwhelming. The house is gone, you need to find a rental, soccer practice starts soon, you're dealing with insurance, you're going back to work.
The kids have 15 to 20 friends that we know of. There's probably more that lost their homes. they're in a pretty terrible position as well, so just feel terrible for everybody. It's terrible.
An old motto in Spokane goes, near nature, near perfect. Riverside State Park is one of the reasons, with the Spokane River bounding past it and trails through ponderosa pine forests. The Old Trails fire swept through this state park and went on to burn neighborhoods. But Spokane, a forested city of 230,000 people, is not used to wildfires. Spokane hasn't dealt with a fire of this gravity since 1991, and before that, 1889. But the city jumped into action in the past week as if it were a well-oiled fire relief machine.
Okay, ticket number 561261. Oh, we got a winner! Woo! Come on up here!
Miss Sparkles, aka Nicole Beam, threw a free event for wildfire victims and firefighter families on Saturday. With all the stress, she wanted kids to have a few hours to forget about their troubles. Beam, a professional face painter for 13 years, has Disney princesses posing for photos, games, a foam machine, and a free raffle with donations from businesses around Spokane.
Parents always put on such a strong face and a brave face. So I want the parents to be able to relax for a little bit. They don't have to carry the burden alone. Their community is here to help them. And we want to just forget about it for an afternoon. Smile, sparkle.
Okay, reach in there and pull one out.
Fundraisers and donation drives have done so well, some are stopping collections so they can focus on getting the goods into people's hands. Relief's also coming in small batches, from a lemonade stand on the South Hill and thrift store clothing drives, $5,000 raised by Spokane Pride, and 15,000 pounds of supplies trucked over by Seattle breweries. So, what comes next? It starts with small things. Venus Allison walks her torched sidewalk, calling out for Bobby.
And he's beautiful and black, and he used to be a street cat. So I have high hopes that he's going to just come meowing to us going, where have you been?
People have put pet food and water on most blocks. Scraps, the local animal rescue, has been through Indian Trails several times looking for the lost. Next comes a deeper dive of the rubble that remains of people's homes.
I wake up in a panic remembering something else we lost. Just this morning, I remembered that I have my mom. She's 92 and she's in assisted living. I have her wedding ring with so many diamonds. I mean, had, I should say. But also my husband and I's wedding rings burned up because we were waiting to get them resized.
Andy McKean has had those moments too.
There's been a couple of times that something has popped into my head that the kids made. My daughter's a really talented artist, and my office was kind of a shrine to her work.
Both families are wondering if or when they'll be able to rebuild. Allison's heard it'd take 3 to 4 years. McKean has heard 2 to 3.
But, you know, that's really only part of it, because the neighborhood, I can't imagine, is really going to recover. You know, I think even really looked like a real neighborhood for probably 5 years, if I had to guess.
The city is already starting to do some recovery work. Waste disposal and utility trucks are out making rounds. Evacuation orders are starting to ease. A business marquee captures the moment with the words, "Pain is real, but so is hope." In Spokane, I'm Paige Browning.
You're listening to KMUN. Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. For more local and regional news, go to kmun.org/news. American Democracy Minute is coming up next. You're listening to KMUN.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. At 4:36 a.m. August 8th, before legislators were released for the summer recess, the U.S. Senate voted on a subset of the Save America Act. This version required narrow types of photo ID but no proof of citizenship. It still failed. The Hill reports that an agreement among GOP leadership in the White House led to the stripped-down version as an amendment to, ironically, the Help America Vote Act. Accepted photo IDs included a valid driver's license, state-issued identification card, a U.S. passport, military identification, or tribal ID. It still failed to reach the 60-vote threshold, 52-46. So while the Save America Act remained stalled for the moment, the agreement allowing senators to head home included a proposal to include the Save Act in the fall's must-pass budget reconciliation process, which could bypass the filibuster. The Senate's parliamentarian has so far not allowed non-budget bills like the SAVE Act to be attached. A champion of the Save America Act, Senator Mike Lee of Utah, told reporters after the most recent vote, "We're not done, we're just getting started." We've linked to the voter ID-only Senate Bill 5271 and a report on the Save America Act by the Bipartisan Policy Center at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Facebook and Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.